Log Talk Radio.
Right back at ya. Most talented record label. Word ain't. And that is silly for shit background. Oh, that's our new princess for hip hop and all this.
She's coming.
Yo, Mr. Sean. I can't be without y'all, baby. I can't be without y'all, baby. You love that show, Miss T?
Yes, indeed. Well, that's one of my favorites.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and let Ashante sing it then.
Yeah.
I skipped a couple of those singer lessons. Unfortunately, it was the most important one.
I passed the harmonizing section though like a mug.
There we go. We'll just hum then.
Yeah.
Hey Timmy, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, Kale? Hey Kale. Hey Kale.
I had a rough one
yesterday. We got these trees cut down over here.
The what?
We had to get some trees cut down.
Oh my goodness, what happened?
Because, you know, I kept thinking somebody was breaking in the damn house, but it was a squirrel jumping from the tree onto the top of the house. I thought somebody was breaking in.
Girl,
so we got
I'm trying
today.
I'm trying to tell you, DMV Kale does not mess with the squirrels. I'm serious. ask Kevin about squirrels and I'm trying to tell you. Them jokers be on a mission to aggravate and antagonize me. I just don't understand it. I'm like, you know, me and Kevin were walking one day, and one of them, I heard him running inside the drain, okay, from the top of the building down to the drain on the ground. Heard him. When he came out of that drain, girl, hit my hand on everything I love. That squirrel stopped, looked at me, and made a beeline toward me. I get to running, and Kevin, like, what you running for? And I'm like, you don't see that squirrel running at me. And he like, it did kind of look like. I said, it ain't no kind of look like. That squirrel was attacking me. You don't see that. Man, we have a good laugh till this day off of that squirrel.
God.
So, listen, any story you
Why
tell me.
Fly on that wall?
Yeah, any story you tell me involving a squirrel, I believe you. Man, them bammers, we got the gangster squirrels over here. One morning I go to the bus stop. That John was sitting at the bus stop. He's like, yeah, you waiting on a D12, homie. I was like, boy, if you don't get your little, you don't, back. Anyway.
Right.
Hey, y'all. How's everybody, doing today? Y'all see how trees got me started? Y'all see how trees done started already. Talking about them dead damn. That's my father's favorite word, dead damn. He used to always say that.
Yeah.
Dad, talking about them dead damn squirrels. Girl, look at him. Look at him. Somebody, whoever got the squirrel, I'm about to send to his squad, for real. But anyway, enough of the squirrel.
Right.
Hey, we have had our game one of the NBA Finals. I want y'all to tell me why y'all feeling. You know what I mean? Well, what do you think is what going on with these finals? Chris Paul looking like he wants that MVP to me, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to get into that yet. But, yeah, We're going to have to talk about game one. And we're going to have to give a celebratory shout out to Tampa Bay, who actually won Lord Stanley last night. And I don't know what's going on in Tampa Bay, but I'm going to get a cup of water, and everybody on the Washington football team going to drink a little bit of that water from Tampa Bay. I'm serious, because them athletes, they doing the damn thing down there. The football team, the hockey team, and the Rays, the Tampa Bay Rays. So, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm going to go get a cup of water from down there, Tree. And the word is that they don't have enough. They don't have enough. But they don't have enough for San Francisco, so we won't be able to help you down.
Wait. Whoa. Wait a minute. Wait, what? You try to go on me real fast, real quick. You try to go on me
real quick.
Okay.
Real quick.
Okay.
It was under the radar. I ain't know you. I ain't think you would.
Oh no, I'm under the radar. I heard, because I get down under the radar too.
And speaking of football, with it slowly coming, what are your expectations for your team? You know what I mean? What do you think your team gonna do? You know, and I didn't really ask this question, or did I? Even if I did or didn't, we gonna do it again, because I can't remember you guys' answer on what do you think? What do you think? Will this third time, with the Cowboys being on Hard Knock, be the charm? Will the third time be the charm? Will they actually win something with this thing, with this being on Hard Knock? Because I'm really starting to believe, in order to be on Hard Knock, you got to be a losing team. You know what I mean? The year before. Can I get an amen to the team?
Amen. Amen. Because they were a losing team the year before, so they on there.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, well, all of these subjects and more, y'all stick around. I see y'all done failed the homework assignment again. I don't have no new people in the studio or on air with us, but it's okay. 563-999-3782. 563-999-3782. We'll be right back to life, back to reality.
Yeah.
However do you want me, however do you need me. That's how Chris Paul and these Phoenix Suns attacking. I mean attack, whatever y'all want to say, however you pronounce it, them Bama's going straight at these finals like they knew they are the champions, and this is just one more obstacle that they have to overcome. Come on, Tree, what you think?
Yes. I feel like that too, and I just feel like this year is Chris Paul's year, and he's going all the way with it. I mean, to me, like, that's how he's playing.
Playing like it is. All right,
yeah.
All right. Brother Ted, what do you think, man? Hello, brother. How are you doing? Let me not be rude.
Hey,
what's going on,
Kills? All right, you got it, Kills. Calling. Good evening, ladies. TKG, how y'all doing this evening?
All right.
Oh. Hey, I totally agree with both you guys. And I think Chris Paul has the will this team to win at all costs, no matter what. As we saw the first game, you know, that little man took on him. He's the general, you know. And they, before the game, I saw the bet saying, they said, bet $50, you win 50 or something, you know. That's what, part of what I caught, to see if he get a double-double. He was one, what, is that a assist? He was one assist short of a double-double, you know. So he's doing his thing, man. And man, the boy is playing phenomenal. And then that little ankle, that ankle thing wasn't really nothing slight. I was like, oh, man, he's going to be put out. But he would not go down. Chris is going to move himself and say, hey, okay, y'all calling me out because of my injury. Go ahead.
You mean that wrist?
Go ahead.
That wrist.
His wrist. Yeah.
No, no. He, man, he, remember he came down on what's on Lopez's foot, tweaked his ankle.
Yeah.
You know, so that was kind of scary there. So that could have been worse than what it was. But like I say, he's not gonna go down no matter what. Well, I don't know why he pulled forward up in that joint.
Chris Paul is playing him and Booker, and I call them the new Booker T. They playing hungry. They're in a 1970 Hungry Man meals, okay? You know, the back in the day, you stick them in the oven, you know, and you wait about 8 o'clock when the Brady Bunch come on, then you get them. Man, they had outplayed Milwaukee. I feel that if they outplayed them tonight, it's Merry Christmas to all of them, all the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay.
So do you think they're going to win a game?
Probably one.
Okay. Let's see what my man Lou. Let me see how Lou thinking. What's he thinking about? What's going on, Lou?
I don't think without the referee that the Bucks have a chance. I really don't.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Paul was showing his dominance on Tuesday.
Hold on, Lou. Did you hear the street speak to you? Did you hear my co-host say, hey, how you doing?
I'm sorry. I didn't cut you off.
Yeah. She was saying hi to you. That's all. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think we have the Greek Freak. They got much of a chance. Some are saying, oh, well, with him on the lab, the Bucks will have a decent chance to win. No, that's your secret weapon there. And without your secret weapon, what have you got? Nothing. So I would be surprised if this was a sweep. If it was a sweep for the Suns.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow,
that's if they win tonight, right? You're saying if they win tonight.
What do you mean if? They will.
Oh, they will win tonight.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's go down here. My man, Five Sim. What's up, Five Sim?
What's happening? What's happening with y'all?
Hey, 57.
What's happening, sis? How you doing?
All right. How you feel?
So.
Pretty good.
What's
the question?
The question is, with this series, this game one, what has it left on your mind?
That the coach for Milwaukee does not have a clue on what he's doing. That's how I feel about it. I mean, if you didn't recognize I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, 57, you got to realize just one thing, 57. He was all on First Take and ESPN and Undisputed complaining about the referee. So he was more worried about the refs and what was and was not going on with them than his players, if you really honestly want to look at it. You know, if you honestly want. And I was just like, I'm like, you know, when you lose like Milwaukee lost, the worst thing you can do is point a faint.
Yep.
And instead of, Trish, you know I caught that. But the first, the worst thing you can do is point the finger. Don't point the finger at nobody else and say that they didn't do their job when everyone else is looking at you as you didn't do your job.
Right.
You didn't do what you were supposed to do, you know? And Boone, what's, hey, help me pronounce the name, Trish. It's Boonehoser, right?
Boonehoser, right.
Who knows? If we all can go back a little bit at the beginning of these NBA playoffs, remember we were on him about how he was commenting or speaking towards his own player. So this finals for Budenholzer, to sum it all up, he's been kind of saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, what are you doing? What are you thinking about for real? If I'm the head coach and my team lost, I'm not saying anything about the rest. The only thing I'm going to be talking about, because the only thing that would be on my mind, is what I plan to do to make my team victorious this next game. But that's
exactly.
Just me. Go ahead, 57. Go ahead, 57.
Well, what I also, Kale, I agree with you on everything you just said. Also, I'm looking at those last two games against Atlanta. Without Giannis out there, he was given the blueprint on how to win this thing. You know, Lopez played so dominant on the inside. You forgot it was Lopez out there. You thought it was somebody else. I did. For a minute, I'm like, Lopez playing, blocking shots, grabbing rebounds, dunking, you know?
Yeah.
And so as soon as Giannis comes back in the game, you put Lopez back on the three-point line instead of letting him get inside. I just don't understand.
Yeah.
The paint isn't his anymore. Down in those blocks, it's not his anymore. And we have to remember, when Lopez first came in this league, that was his job. That was his responsibility. Until Lopez reminds me of a player caught in the mix of this new style of play. Do you all remember Jermaine O'Neal? And
yes.
How Jermaine O'Neal was dominant for a little while. And then Steph Curry and the threes came about and all of this transition happened to basketball. Well, Lopez is another one of those players that were caught up in this transition and where we have 7-footers now shooting threes, you know, 6'11" guys with 7-foot wingspan shooting threes. So these guys are caught up in that, and you're right. You're absolutely right, 57. When they had Lopez down where he's familiar, down where he played, he was way more valuable. And I'm going to say this, way more valuable to Milwaukee than Giannis has ever been. And I'm going to say that for the record, way more valuable, way more productive than Giannis has ever been with Milwaukee. Why? Because they let him play the old style of basketball that he was accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple. It's just that simple. It's not a formula. It's not a secret. It's put Lopez down on that block, man. I'm telling you. That lane has to be cleared out for Giannis, because how many times, Ted, the other night when we were watching, Ted, and Giannis got the ball down on the block and backed up all the way to the three. I thought Ted was going to bust a vessel, and I thought my head was going to pop out my head, because I could not believe this dude, you down in the paint with a smaller defender on you, and you... Instead of taking advantage, decide you want to back out. And they showed it. It was dribble, 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 boom. The Suns, Chris Paul stole the ball away from him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, dude, you took yourself out of the spot where you were in. You had the advantage, gave up your advantage, and now you gave up the ball. These are the reasons why I was telling y'all all along that Antetokounmpo is not the superstar that we really think he is. He's not. He's not that guy. He's not. Lopez is more of that guy than Antetokounmpo. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You know. Come on, Lou. Come on, Lou. I know you were chomping to get in. What you got to say?
Like I said, without Antetokounmpo, I don't really see much of a chance for the Bucks to put them. And I always like to call – I know it's a bulldozer, but I always say bulldozer for the coach. That's just a little inside joke there. That's a nice ring to it, though, don't you think?
I'm with you 100%. But – He just did, you know, this playoff run, it seems every decision except for starting Lopez after Giannis got hurt. And Lou, I disagree with you, man. I disagree with you. I think Giannis hurts this team because everything slows down when he's in the game. And they are a more natural team when Giannis is not in there. When Giannis is in there, it seems like they have to fight and press to play a certain style of basketball, and that hurts them. In my book,
I see.
In my book.
Well, you know, like, it does hurt. I do agree with you that it hurts them because Giannis demands the ball at all times. Like, when he's on the floor, he wants the ball all the time. I want the ball. Oh, give me the ball. Give me the ball. And not saying, not taking nothing away from him because he is a good passer. He passed the ball out and all that. But when he's on the floor, like you said, the game has to come to a damn near a complete halt for him. Because you got to set it up.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do this. And all that. But when he's not in there, everybody is in their correct position when he's not in the game. See, if they play him like they play Lopez, they'll blow everybody out of the game.
Right.
Because everybody will be in their correct position. See, he play out of position all the time, and that before letter word it up. You know?
Right.
Mess it up.
I like that.
Mess it up. Just mess it all up.
Mm.
But I think they're going to win. It's going to go 7 games. They think the Suns going to win. But they're going to go 7 games. Because they are going to win at home.
You think so?
They got to. I don't know about thinking, but I know they need to.
Well, I look at it like the NBA – It would behoove them to stretch it out and let it go 7 games. So
yeah.
I agree with you from that standpoint. But
if I
go team for team, talent for talent, to be honest, I think the Suns are just too much. I think the Suns have too much and are too much for this Milwaukee team. I really do. And then let's think of this, okay? The Suns team has been versatile throughout this playoff. Throughout this playoff, their first game was versus who? The Lakers. Lakers had big men. Suns ain't really have a bunch of big men to throw out there and make up for what these big men have to offer, these guys with these long wingspans have to offer. The Suns didn't have anyone to really match them. So the Suns have beautifully been making teams play the style of basketball that they want them to play.
Right.
Most teams on the pick and roll, they perform that pick and roll play and look to the inside, layups and dunks, all three. You notice the Suns have been doing the total opposite. They've been popping that little 12-foot, 14-foot jumper, you know, and they have been sufficient at it. Chris Paul and Devin Booker, they have been sufficient at it. They have been immaculate in their make rate of that little two-point jumper. They have actually flipped the script, which is something that we all, as basketball fans and members of KO Corner, have been screaming. Why do they choose the three over the two? And we watched this Suns team. Do they have three-point shooters? Yes. Can they make three-point shots? Yes. But they go for the meat and potato. They go for that in the paint. That jumper, you know, that 12, 13-foot jumper, and they're making it. And they're making it. Like I said, Budenholzer, or Bulldozer, as Lou called him, has to get his mind on what does my team need to do to be victorious. He needs to get away from, oh, the referee did this to the referee. Dude, listen. Those are the marks of a sorry loser, a sore loser, okay? Not sorry, excuse me, a sore loser. So you need to get off of that, because if game one was any indication of this series, man, I feel for Milwaukee. I feel for Milwaukee because Chris Paul was toying me with those guys until he was taken out in the fourth quarter. He was toying with those guys. I don't know what's going on with Middleton. Can somebody please send an SOS out to the great ship of Middleton and tell him that the rest of his team is stranded on this beach called Phoenix Suns? Please send that SOS, tie a note to a pigeon or a seagull or something to get this Bama's attention. Because Middleton, throughout these, yes, Milwaukee has won. Let's look at their walk. Let's look at their Eastern Conference walk. There's no way Atlanta should have taken them as far as they did. No way whatsoever. No way whatsoever with the talent that is on this Milwaukee team, they should have been, how can I say this nicely? A smooth poop with some good toilet paper. That's what I'm saying. Am I right to say that? They should have been a smooth poop with some good toilet paper, for real.
Hey, I can't do it alone.
Okay.
But I want to say that real quick, right? Giannis is a Shaq 2.0, okay? It's that it. You can't shoot free throws. You've seen it. He shot half of his free throws. That was Shaq. That was early Shaq did.
Steve. I cannot
let
you disrespect the Diesel and the memory of the Diesel by saying Giannis is too. Giannis, listen. Now, I'm not a hater, so I'm not going to say what he can be, because he can be great one of these days. But right now, he's not great. He's not great.
I'm not talking about Orlando Shaq. He's Orlando Shaq right now. He's not Lakers Shaq.
Well, Orlando Shaq was great, too. He was great too.
That
family ain't speak to me after the playoffs and stuff when it came to the store. So he's a Bama right there. So what I'm saying is that what happened?
Who they lost to?
Huh?
I said, look who they lost to, though. They lost to the champion.
At least speak to me. But what I'm saying is that, you know, this is his first finals, right? Use your body. Use your athleticism, right? Practice on your free throws. You got everything else. You just got this tendon on the money, right? You got somebody 6'11", 7 foot that's popping J's, three-pointers and stuff. That's what you should be practicing. Kai Thompson perfected it, right? You don't have the game like that. So you can't beat three throws, shoot some threes.
You know. Steve.
Yeah.
If you are 6'11", with a 7 foot wingspan, why don't you get your big Vienna sausage high part down in the paint? Why aren't you dunking the ball? Why aren't
you
dunking the ball?
You know I got one leg, right?
What's that?
He should be going to the free throw line 50 times a game.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
It don't matter about him making a shot or not. It don't matter. What matters is that he go down in the paint and stay down in the paint and get some other people in foul trouble. That way, they'll stop fouling him.
Yeah.
You got to make
him to the free throw line.
Make
him.
Kill two birds. Kill two birds with one stone. Kill two birds with one stone. You keep your team in the game by making your free throws. And what is this with this countdown? You know, I mean, dude, you know they're going to be – start using that thing. Start using that to your advantage. Start using it to your advantage.
The refs ain't calling it, so why should he care?
Can I say – right, 57, right. Right, and one thing I can say about Giannis, and I ain't, you know, trying to take up on him or none of that. He don't care. Like, he'll still get fouled. He'll still get, because he know he can't make the free throw. He know he going to have to go to the free throw line. At least he didn't act like Ben Simmons. Like, Ben Simmons, he wasn't even trying to get fouled because he know he wasn't going to make it. Like, he not going to make it. He don't care. He's still going to have to be, you won't have to foul him. Like, he don't care.
Hey.
Like, that's one thing I can say about him. Like, he don't care about that.
Not to call names, but we do know a player in Philly who cares too much, and he got to the point where he wouldn't even touch the ball. Point guard Ben Simmons. Point guard Ben
That's
Simmons. Go ahead, 57.
I wanted to comment on the question about Middleton. What's going on right now? When Giannis is in the game, Middleton doesn't have enough room on the court to maneuver like he did in those last two games against Atlanta.
Hello?
Nobody
does 57. Does 57.
Yeah. Giannis needs too much room to, first of all, to get into his offense, and it's taking space away from the things that Middleton and everybody else on the court needs to do. I just think this coach is going to get out-coached. I don't really feel like Phoenix is that much a better team than Milwaukee. I just feel like they're going to get out-coached.
Thank you. They're just getting out-coached.
Yep, they're just getting out-coached.
Because look, when Giannis not in the game, or if they make Giannis play his true position, they'll beat the Suns. But they're not gonna do that. They're not gonna do that because that's Budenholzer is not that. He's not that coach. Like, he don't see that. Like what everybody else see, he don't see. And there ain't no person on that team that's strong enough to go to him and say, look, Giannis needs to be his butt behind. What you say, Big Vienna sausage head butt down there? They don't have nobody on their team that can go to the coach and say that. You know what I'm saying? They don't have ain't nobody gonna do that.
Shout out to the Vienna sausage. I had two cans for lunch today. 563-999. 563-999-3782 is the number. We'll be right back. And I want y'all to think a little more on this thing, man. What will losing this game tonight mean for Giannis and Chris Paul? We'll be right back here on Hill Corner.
I just eat two cans of Giannis. Bye.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, girl. I had to stop. That was crazy. I looked in the studio, saw your number. And I could just say, I could hear your voice telling me, Kale, cut it out, Kale. Turn the music off, Kale. But I'm saying that's junk, y'all, man. Be my pal when But seriously though. A lot of people are saying Giannis is young and this isn't going to affect him. And it means more to Chris Paul because, you know, Chris Paul, he's coming to an end to a 16-year career. Let's face it. You know what I mean? He's been out here for a while. He's an old man out here now. So, you know, who do you say, Treece, that this Larry O'Brien means more for, would mean more for?
Definitely Chris Paul, without a doubt. Because now everybody's trying to make it seem like he needs this to solidify him as a superstar or a champion or, you know, all these other adjectives you could think of. Like, they're trying to give him all that. But last year, when he wasn't in the playoffs, it was Chris Paul. He's the greatest point guard of all time. He don't need a ring to solidify himself. Now all of a sudden he's in a position to get the Larry O'Brien. So it's definitely going to mean a lot more to him because of the naysayers and the people that, you know, downed him and all of that. So it definitely means a lot more to him. And like everybody is saying, Giannis, he is him. So he got a lot more time to try to get there.
Right. Lou? Which one do you say, Lou?
Read me the choices again, please.
Would it mean more to Giannis or Chris Paul to win this Larry O'Brien?
Oh, Chris
NBA
Paul,
final?
Definitely. Plus,
okay.
Oh, Chris Paul, definitely. I mean, you know, he's waited 16 years to get to this point. I mean, how could they not be more deserving? I mean, Giannis is still young compared to Paul. I mean, you know, Giannis has got time. But, you know, Chris Paul's been in for, like, you know, 17 years right now. His time is running out. I think if this was, you know, if it was anything more important, it's got to go with CP3. No question.
Okay. Steve, come on back in here, Steve. Giannis or CP3?
Chris Paul, because you know what happened with that Laker trade? They shut him with last time. So Chris Paul. Yeah.
Okay. I can't argue with you. I can't argue with you at all.
I better come back to another time.
Excuse me? look. I can't argue with any of you guys' point of view on this. And in all honesty, Chris Paul is one of those players that, for some reason, from the beginning, I didn't really. I'm not going to say I didn't like him, but I wasn't really with him. You know what I mean?
Right.
We got to remember, Chris Paul has been playing the style of ball that he plays for a while, for a long while. So, you know, I'm happy to see him get it. If they get it, you actually get it. And all roads point to him actually being champion. So, you know, come on, Ted, who do you think that this Larry O'Brien trophy means more for, Chris Paul or Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Chris Paul.
Why do you give it to Chris Paul?
I mean, he put in, how many years he been in? Look at the age, the years he put in, the blood, sweat, and tears, through all the injuries, through all the disappointments on his part, some on his part, some on injuries, you know, and just some on the team part, you know. So you have all kind of adversity he's been through, you know.
And you know what? You know what, Ted, you just said something that I didn't even think of. All of the seasons where Chris Paul was injured, you know, and on his way to the finals, it seemed like year, whatever team he was with, he'd have a season-ending injury. And we'd just be like, dang, well, Chris Paul ain't there. And we would move forward as, you know, as business as usual, you know what I mean? And it almost seems like this season, all the business is unusual because Chris Paul has actually made it to a final. Go ahead, Ted.
Well, you know, and that's so true. You know, like I said, I mean, he's been doubted. Like I said, he's been talked about that he's, you know, too demanding. He demands too much on his player. I mean, him and Blake didn't get along because we know Blake is soft-skinned. You know, because if I'm the type of player like Chris Paul, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, if you're not reaching your potential and playing soft and all that, I'm going to be in your mug as that point guard, as that general. You know, I'm gonna assess that. So, and if he can't take
right.
it, well, I'm sorry, but we knew who was more important, Blake. You know, Blake was considered that star they was trying to build, but also he had injuries. So, therefore, they labeled Chris as not being a good teammate. You know, because he got in your face and this and that. But then it also really really bad for him because he hasn't won anything. Because Michael Jordan was the same way. I mean, Michael Jordan, he was punching people. You know what I'm saying? So, but he won. So therefore, it was like considered okay. Like that's what you had to do because he won. So, you know, and that's what Chris put in the work for, and that's what he tried to get his younger teams during his earliest days to get to see. Man, we got to do this. You got to, you know, you got to really give it all what you get. And that boy, regardless of what he has done that. You know, but like I say, he has failed on some cases where he missed a shot or made a mistake and everything, but then also he has injuries. But he's trying to put on there, so that's why I think it's more important to him.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think it's easier to be a leader and to tell people what to do when you can go out there and physically perform yourself. You know, they got the coach on the sideline, on the bench, you know, constantly being in people's ear and telling them what he wants or what he will or will not accept, and their job is this. So you don't need another voice on the sideline. Leader on
as
the
far,
floor. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's
cool. What do you mean you don't need another on the sideline as far as what, the player or what?
Yeah, like in the past, Chris Paul was labeled, he was labeled a bad teammate, or somebody who other guys didn't want to play with. But now guys are more apt to follow him, to do what he say do, because they see him getting it done.
But I'm trying to address what you said, that they don't need another voice on the sideline. I don't understand what you mean by that.
Because that's the sideline, that's the coach's territory.
But that's where you
listen to the coach. Then you need
also,
that general on the floor as well.
But also the player, like as far as your point guard, if he sees something and he's on that, he's playing. The coaches also, he's on the sideline too. But if the player has that knowledge, you know, it has that pedigree, has the knowledge to come back and say, coach, they doing this and this. I saw this and that. He should be able to voice that opinion. So therefore, you have him on the sideline also, and then on the floor. I'm not saying all the time take over from the coach, but he should be able to implement his voice, his opinion on how things is going on the court, because he's out there actually performing and playing.
The sideline is the coach's. Yeah, exactly. But the sideline is the coach's domain. On the court is that player's domain. I understand what you're saying.
So LeBron.
No, he's saying the same thing. No, Ted, y'all saying the same thing. He's saying like when you on the sideline, the coach is the main person. Like he don't need Chris Paul on the sideline, but if he give his opinion, that's fine too. I'll take it. But when he's on the floor, it's Chris Paul's job. It's like that floor general to take over and do everything because the coach is on the sideline.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Y'all
case
the same
point.
Thing.
Case,
okay.
Yeah, case
right.
Point.
Yeah.
When a team calls a timeout.
No, but I just thought he just said that they don't need it. That I'm just saying that I said that.
No.
They, okay.
No.
Case in point,
when a team calls a timeout and they're walking to the sideline, you usually see Chris Paul in somebody's ear talking to someone. But when once he gets to that sideline, it's all on the coach. It's what the coach is saying. And I've even seen him pick the conversation up again after the coach expresses whatever it is he wants to express or whatever it is that he's saying. But I understand what you're saying, but like Tree said, we're saying the same thing. And a helping voice is always needed. Somebody that's in that action and see what's going on, that's always needed. Always. I feel an advantage that Phoenix has too over Milwaukee is that they have that player, experienced veteran in Chris Paul, and he can relay those messages to Monty Williams, like you said, Ted, and reach his teammates as well.
Right.
Go ahead, Tree.
No, I agree 100% with you. Like on the sidelines, it's mainly Nate's job to make sure everything goes smoothly, and he gets the coach normally gets the last word on the sidelines. On the floor general, normally the point guard or the shooting guard or one of the guards normally take that role, you know, on the floor. So I do agree with you on that. But I do think that Budenholzer is going to adjust, and he's going to adjust. And I got them winning 2 games.
You got more confidence in them than I do, because I think this is going to be a gentleman's sweep. I think it's going to be a gentleman's sweep, meaning Milwaukee will win 1 game. They will win 1 game. But other than that, I think when Milwaukee wins that one game, it's going to be a slap in the face to the Phoenix Suns, and they're going to wake up and come out running again. Because one thing about Phoenix, like I said, they have been the most ambidextrous team that we've seen in these playoffs this year. They have adjusted and mixed their team up and I mean they have been playing musical. Monty Williams has been playing musical players and putting this guy in and that guy out and it's funny how one or two players change the whole outlook of their team. It completely changes things around. So, you know, the question is going to be, will Milwaukee be able to match up? Because we see a better Milwaukee team without Antetokounmpo. We've all agreed to that. But they can't play without him. They can't play without him. The NBA is too dead set on Antetokounmpo being a superstar. So they can't play without him. You're going to have to put him in. The question is, will Budenholzer find a way to make Antetokounmpo either play in the paint and give the perimeter to Lopez, since Lopez can and will drain that three, you know, and Antetokounmpo will, like you said, Tree, go to the foul line. He doesn't care about the countdown and the fact that he's 0 for 5, 0 for 6 from the line. He doesn't care at all, and I give him that. It's like water on the duck's back to him because he can miss every free throw and then come up there and drain 3 or 4 in a row. So, you know, it's a lot weighs on Budenholzer, or whatever his name, Bulldozer, as you call it. A lot weighs on him because he has to get into Antetokounmpo's head and demand that he plays where and what he wants him to play, which would be better for the team. Which would be best for the team. All right, y'all. 563-999-3782. We up against another one. We'll be right back. This Kale Corner, man. So I'm taking it that everybody's saying Chris Paul. This means more to Chris Paul. So, hey, CP3, get your job done, boy.
Man, it's freezing, full effect.
Uh-huh. You ready, Ron?
I'm ready.
You ready, Dave?
I'm ready, Slick. Are you?
Oh, yeah. Take it down.
Girl, I must warn you. I sense something strange in my mind.
Yeah.
Yo.
Situation is serious. Let's kill it, cause we're running out of time.
And a smile. Before we go any further, we're going to congratulate Tampa Bay.
Again.
They won the Stanley Cup last night. Game 5 versus Montreal. Them dudes did the damn thing. Like I say, y'all, DMV Kale this weekend. I'm going to Tampa Bay, and I'm bringing a couple of water back, and I'm going to make every last one of my Washington and football team players drink a little bit of that water, because whatever they drink it down there, we'll take two up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'll take one just for this. I'll take one just to take one, honey, please, and thank you. You can put mine
you
right on the side to thank you. Because this is their second. They didn't win back-to-back. This is back-to-back for them.
Yeah.
They ain't playing no game.
Yeah. None. None whatsoever. And you know what? Our cap team right now, I'm sorry. Our cap team right now, you know, they in limbo, man. Our cap team is just like, they in limbo, man. Unbelievable limbo. And I knew getting rid of our coach was going to hurt us in the long run. Because, you know, that Caps team, nothing for nothing, had a lot of divas on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Alex Ovechkin being A1 diva. But we had a lot of divas on that team, and our coach knew how to handle it. He knew how to handle them. And, you know, it's just, you know, we're starting over. We're starting over, and I'm happy because I can say I saw my Caps team win a Stanley Cup in my lifetime. So I'm happy as heck about that. I'll just be glad when they get their heads together and chase something else. But, you know, congratulations, Tampa Bay. The Lightning did what they needed to do and got their job done. So kudos to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Who does
Tampa? Yeah, it hurt to say that.
Exactly. You ain't lying.
It hurt to say that. It hurt for me to say that, man. It was a great time when my Washington Capitals won that Stanley Cup, you know.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Wearing the gear. You know, talking trash to other folks and, you know, being a true Washingtonian and going for every team in Washington, it was good to be able to scream and watch, know that everybody that loves hockey was watching my team at the same time I was watching my team. So it was a great thing. We gotta get those. Dougie Fresh said. We need
6 minutes, y'all. Would you say, KO, your phone went out?
Go ahead, D. I'm sorry.
Would you say your phone had went out?
I said we want that. We want that old thing back, like Dougie Fresh.
Absolutely.
No,
I just really started liking hockey, and then I followed them, and for the last 10 years, I've been liking hockey. I didn't grow up, a hockey fan at all. And this is when I started getting into everything else that I learned and how great it was that they could fight and do all that kind of stuff. So I was really interested in it. And then I just gravitated to Washington because that's where I was living at the time. And I love my Caps. I was there when they won it. I had my tickets. I still got my tickets. I mean, you know, I was there, right in the building, sometimes not in the building, just on the outside. But we had an amazing time. It was an amazing era in my life. So I can, I'm 51 years old, and I can say, hey, I didn't see the Caps win. I seen the Nets win. I seen my San Francisco Giants win three times in 5 years. So, I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it, lived it. So I'm good with it.
Yes,
what about you,
Kim? Patty is they come. Patty as they come. But you know what? I've seen my Washington football team win three times. I saw my Nationals win. I saw my Capitals win. DC United, I mean, who keeping record with them? We done seen them
right.
win.
Missing,
you know what I mean?
You're missing one, too.
And I mean, let me finish. You know what
okay.
I mean? Yeah,
my
that's
bad.
My watch is missing. You know, my watch is missing. So, you know, there was a time here, but you know what? To be honest, we need the Washington football team to win, so that they can be relevant here in the 2000s. You know what I mean? And let's look, we talked about this Bama.
Y'all team gonna be relevant regardless. Y'all, Washington Redskins, the Dallas Cowboys, and like Pittsburgh, and of course my San Francisco 49ers. They're always gonna be relevant. They're gonna always talk about them. They're for real. They're gonna always talk about them. They're gonna always have something to say. I don't care if y'all won the last 4 rings in the last 8 years. They're gonna still have something to say.
True that. Let's bring my man, my brother from another Hula. What's going on, man?
Oh,
what's
up, Kevin?
What's going on with you, Kale?
Man, I was just telling Tree about the day we was walking and that squirrel came down that drain pipe and stopped for a second and looked at me like, yeah, what's up? And then charged me and I started running and you just stood there laughing at me.
I never felt no fear about that squirrel. But I will say as a witness, yeah, it attacked Kale, man.
Come on,
we were standing beside each other, and it clearly attacked him. So, you know,
it wanted some dark meat. It wanted dark side. Yeah. Then you want your light skin chicken wings, and he wanted no chicken wings.
Lord.
Yeah, so he wanted KF Kale and not Popeyes. That's what he wanted.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
Hey, Tree,
right.
I got like 8 more squirrel stories, Slim.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got some doozies, but this is sports talk. If it was crack,
we
talk about that.
After the
sports
show.
We'll
talk. I mean, I need them stories, okay?
Go ahead.
Oh, I got plenty. I got you. I got you covered, Tim.
I got one myself. What up,
you got one, Ted?
Yeah, I got
one
myself. With you, ain't nothing to it, big boy. How you doing, dog?
Man, I can't complain. I can't complain. All that conversation, I ain't hear no bad talk.
Well, I wasn't chimed in, so I'm following the script. I'm following the script. That's all, Kevin. You know, it's still talk.
I heard San Francisco. You know, I mean, you know, I thought I figured, you know, you fly one in there.
Well, Jay, he had Jay Cutler as the quarterback, so he don't really like talk about Chicago too much.
Oh no, I got a lot to talk. No, that's what you want. I got a lot to talk about, but like I say, I wasn't, you know, called to chime in, and you hadn't brought that up. But definitely, I'm waiting for the season to start. We ready. I'm gonna let the play speak for itself. So,
oh my goodness.
There you go,
Ted. Do a lot of talk.
Hey, I said a whole lot without saying nothing.
There you go.
We've heard that before. We've heard all of that before.
I'm just waiting on Pittsburgh to chime in because I know he's over there itching.
Yeah, he is. You know he is. Go ahead, Pittsburgh.
Well, look, y'all rookies know what I'm going to say. You know, y'all can sit up here and make all y'all claims, Chicago, San Francisco, the Seahawks, the Washington football team, but we own the NFL. We'll be back in the Super Bowl this year. Holla.
Whoa, y'all picked up our garbage, and you think y'all going to be back in the Super Bowl this year? Man,
I'm sorry, bro. Who am I speaking with? What kind of who?
Oh, this is Kevin. I'm sorry. I just had to react.
No, my bad, bro. My bad, bro.
My bad. Yeah,
who's
going to
lead y'all
this?
Dwayne
team,
Haskins
Kevin?
Or Ben Roethlisberger?
Hold on. He won.
Huh?
He won.
I said, who's going to lead you this? Ben Roethlisberger or Dwayne Haskins?
Somebody got background noise.
And that is not me. I'm on mute. I was on mute. I'm gonna mute myself again, but that's not me.
Okay.
Yeah. Ben's gonna be our starter. Ben's gonna be our starter. He's gonna have a good year this year. We're gonna have a better year than people think. Picking up the running back and the offensive lineman we picked up gonna help us out a lot this year.
And I won't argue with that. People expect y'all to go to the playoffs every year.
Haskins gonna fool y'all, huh?
Oh, now Haskins gonna fool us. Wow.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's funny to me how when a player joins your team from another team, all of a sudden he's going to prove us wrong.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
I need the fact check person to come in free.
Okay.
Haven't I been saying all along that I felt the Redskins did Haskins wrong?
Yeah.
So Kale, that's not true.
How?
I just felt y'all didn't give him a chance. I don't want to argue with nobody, but I felt like y'all didn't give him a chance. You know, he was an immature rookie that y'all put in a position where you needed somebody with experience to run the team, and he wasn't that guy. And once y'all fixed all that, y'all didn't want to take any time to train him or anything. Y'all just, boop, out you go. And so now he's in Pittsburgh with somebody that got time to train.
They did the Kwame Brown. He
put himself out. He had time to show that he was at least adult. He didn't. Got him fired. He wasn't an adult about things. And then we're also talking about
a
guy who had one college season.
But Kevin, I agree with you, bro. You just like she said, you just solidified to me what I was saying. That was a kid you put out there. And you asked him to be a grown
person. He definitely wasn't ready for the limelight. I agree with
him.
One college season with the number one and number two player in every position in the country at the time. And was he even ready to be in the NFL?
No.
That's my question. My question. Was he ever ready to even be in the NFL? And his head coach told everybody he wasn't ready for the NFL. I agree with you, but he also proved that he's not even ready to be considered a leader of himself, much less a team.
If I can say this real quick, Kevin, we're known in Pittsburgh for taking an average quarterback and turning him into a good quarterback. We've never had a quarterback that's been the number one for any team, at all, ever. You know, even when we had Jefferson Street, Joe Gilliam, we've never had a number one player on our team that was the quarterback.
And I agree with you, but you had people that were ready to be adults.
Exactly.
I can agree with you on that. But still, back then, though, you're right, you were about 24 when you came into the league. That's a difference, believe it or not, in 20 and 24.
Oh, definitely. I totally agree.
Well,
Let me say this.
Haskins has all the attributes that you look for. Big arm, strong guy, can avoid the rush and all of that. Haskins' problem is in between the ears. And I don't care how old he is, until he sets it in. Okay, this is what a quarterback has to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. then he's going to keep falling and tripping over the same object. Now, hopefully, for some way, somehow, this work staff can get to the young man. Because believe it or not, I want to see the young man doing good. I want to see him successful, except for when he plays my team, you know what I mean? But, you know, I want to see him successful. I want to see him doing good. And he is going to have to want to see himself successful and doing good and doing what it takes mentally to put himself through.
I think you got two people on this team, three people on our team this year that need to prove something. Tomlin, because he's never had a losing season, needs to prove that he can coach, which I don't think that's possible. Roethlisberger.
Whoa.
Roethlisberger, even though I think he still got the good, a lot of people think he don't, and so he has to prove that. And, you know, then you got Haskins that has, you know, he also has to prove that, you know, adversity can build character and that he can be a good quarterback in the NFL because, like Kale says, he does have all the attributes that say he can be a good quarterback.
I feel like he's going to end up thrown to the fire again because Ben don't finish a season. So, we'll see how that works out because he will definitely play this year.
Yeah, I can't argue with you there.
He's definitely going to play, and you're still asking the same guy to do something even greater because the expectation is higher. We'll see how it works out. He's going to get 3 or 4 games this year. We'll see how it works out.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger, I don't know why he ain't getting swept up in that Me Too movement. So he shouldn't even be playing
on
the floor. So I don't even understand why he's still playing.
Come on, Tree.
And, you know what I'm saying?
Come on, Tree.
I don't even understand why. If they put
him in
Deshaun Watson, and he hasn't even been proven guilty. This man been proven guilty.
Come on,
twice.
Tree. Being with the court, Tree.
He got fucked up in the Me Too movement.
Well, they wasn't looking at athletes, Trees.
Hey, bro, it's been 10 years, and
they
she won't let that go yet.
Look, they looking for him now. They got the target on, what's his name, Deshaun Watson's back. They got the target on his back for getting a massage. He ain't
sexual
innuendo to nobody. He just got a massage.
They let Captain Date Rape out of prison, so you know.
Exactly.
Captain Date Rape.
He was the get along crew.
I love it when y'all love to hate the best, man. Y'all love to hate the best.
I mean, look at the best. You like the dude.
I say, what? Hey, all I know is, I ain't going to say, okay, you right, Trey. I ain't going to say no more. I just know we beat y'all the last time we played y'all.
Smart man right there.
Hey, Trey, you going to stop setting people up, Trey. You going to stop setting people up like I ain't never seen nobody make 57 say you right. You know,
hey,
never.
Hey, man, to say you wrong, that's 45 minutes, bro.
just let her be, dog. Just let her be.
Yes, sir.
You
win, baby.
I love you.
Always. Always.
Yes.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah,
go ahead,
Jim.
I was about to say, why do we talk football if we can't talk stuff?
Talk what?
Why? If we can't, I can't say the other S word. So if you can't talk stuff, why do we even talk football? To me,
I don't know who you're talking about.
What other stuff? What S word are you talking about?
Hey, I don't know. You know, I just took my medicine, so I don't know what I'm saying right now.
Well, they're 57. Let me bring you back to earth real quick. Come on, let's bring the call. What's up, Kirby? What's happening,
Kirby? Oh, man, I'm just getting so old, and I'm so old my tattoos look misspelled. You know, it used to say for the red skin, now it says foreskin. How would you like to have a tattoo that says foreskin? And I wake up in the morning and rigor mortis done set in. I thought you're supposed to die first, you know. You know, I woke up with rigor mortis and my legs are stiff and my arms are stiff and everything's stiff except that thing's supposed to get stiff. I have to use Fix-A-Flat for that.
Fix-A-Flat,
that's what I use, yeah.
Oh, geez.
You know what?
Fifty-seven. Let me talk a little smack to 57. Yeah.
What's up,
let
baby?
Let me talk to you about little Abner. When little Abner come from Louisiana Tech, you know, and he had one tooth missing, and he go to Pittsburgh, and they boo him, and call him stupid, and everything. Then he went 4 Super Bowls for him, 4 out of 4. Little Terry
Tell
Bradshaw.
Him,
they don't even put him on the 100. Famous, you know, best ever 100 all time list of quarterbacks.
Game.
Yeah,
he was the Dwayne Haskins of his time.
Oh Lord, I wouldn't put that on nobody. I mean, I tell you what, football ain't what it used to be back when you had the steel curtain and the doomsday defense and the overhill gang, and you had them so-and-sos out there that were no mama, no daddy, the Raiders, you know, them that jump off the porch and bite people, you know. I mean, it's a terrible team.
You're right, Kirby. And the Monsters of the Midway, I'm getting that in, Kevin. The Monsters of the Midway. We had
to
get
come
to
Chicago.
So. Kevin said I had to get one in, so there we go. But you're right, Kirby.
There you go.
So they don't mention Bradshaw. And he did that. Bradshaw, like you said, he won 4 in a row, man. That's something. Hold on. That's something spectacular, you know. And he had the help of Les Swan and John Starworth, and that defense with Mean Joe Green, and you know, they was really tough, like you say.
Ernie Holmes, he had Holmes too, you know. I mean, Lambert, all them badass.
Jack Lambert, yeah, he had
them up. I don't have to say anything, bruh.
That was then, though.
I'm gonna tell you the best hitter. I'm gonna tell you a better hitter than Lambert. That was Blunt. Joe Blunt. They named the cigar after Blunt. They call it Blunt.
Yeah.
That's right. Hold on. He brought up the medicine thing. I got this sour diesel medicine. I got this Kush medicine. I got this, you know. But anyway, I'm just happy to be alive. I'm happy to be alive, and I want every one of y'all to know that I have the highest respect for all of you, because y'all are not fair weather fans. Y'all are all weather fans. You support your team like you're supposed to. You know, I don't like them sometimey fans. Sometimey
right.
People will get you killed sometimes. So, you know.
Indeed.
If you're a Steelers fan and you've been with them for forever, well, then you're a good fan. That's all I, you know. And everybody calls into this show know their football. They have a sense of humor. but they know their stuff. I mean, they study, they watch film, they watch, you know, catch up on all the latest stuff about their team, you know. That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You preaching, Kurt. You preaching now, brother.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Uh-oh. 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 Hey, Kirby, you on some good oxygen today, ain't you? You on that pure oxygen today. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to say this, and I mean it, too. I've said it before, but, you know, I know you thought 57 is what I was playing, but I do want to see actions do good, you know, and I want to see this man get given every opportunity that he deserves. I want to see him, you know, really take a hold of that offense in Pittsburgh and master it. Take the proper time to master what he's doing, you know what I mean? And, you know, that's about all. When we come back, we're going to take a quick one.
They only need a running game, and they drafted a great runner. They're going to be all right. They're going to be all
right.
Pittsburgh's going to be all right.
Well,
we
as we all know, Kirby on his own time. We'll be right back.
They're going to be all right.
But our
Redskins, our Washington football team will be super. We're going to be super this year. Yeah, we're going to kick
all
some
right.
butt, take some names.
Well, all right, you squares. Time to go. Fire up this funk and let's have a toast. It'll make you dance with some of everything.
That was for my man Kirby. That was for Kirby. And Kirby be busting out. You hear me? Let's bring him on back in. Kirby, you
hey,
all right,
Katrice. Yeah, man, I'm all right. Katrice, did you look up that video, that rooftop throw from Shanahan to somebody over there on the other, across the street on another rooftop?
I was waiting to get it in, but thank you for going down and putting
yeah.
it out there. That joint was nice.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, you know, you stop and think you have to take a lot of medicine and get hold of Mel Blunt or something, you know, to get up there on top of a rooftop and throw a football
all
the way
the
across
place.
The...
Oh, my God.
Hey, hold tight. Let's get into this Rachel Nichols conversation. Ms. Chris, would you take the mic from here, please?
Absolutely. So over the weekend, a tape of Rachel Nichols was released. Well, it was leaked. I don't know if it was released, but it was leaked. And she was saying some contradictory things. And she was saying that they was taking a sideline job from her and giving it to Maria Taylor because of they had to fill the quota and she's black and some other little adjectives and non-adjectives and verbal things that she was saying about Maria Taylor, and they was laughing, you know, like it was a joke and all that. So that in itself took on a whole another world of its own, because she was even in the it was even in the tape that she was saying that Maria Taylor is smart and
she's handled football and basketball and stuff like that. And if they want to give it to her, then go right ahead. Fill that spot and give it to her. I already declined it. So my thing was, if why are we even talking about it? If you declined it, you don't want the job. So what's the rule right here? Why are you just speaking out on something? But she's speaking out on something because her publicist is not saying, her publicist is saying nothing about it. So that's like giving her the green light. She married into a family that was giving her the green light. We're talking about Rachel Nichols. So my thing was, she didn't work as hard as Maria Taylor did to get that position. What do you guys think?
Let's bring Teddy. Come on, Ted.
Well, no, I'd rather hear somebody else's opinion because I said that, you know, well, that, you know, okay, if they had to fill quarter, we know that they tried, that, you know, like when you were saying, they trying to have an agenda to fill, to put a lot of black people and women, especially in prominent positions, you know, making up for the past. Because we didn't have that opportunity. So as she say they fill in the quarter, of course, if you want to say that. So, and like Lady T say, if she declined it and all that and also saying that Marie is qualified, so why did you even make that comment, you know? I feel that that's a touch of racism in a sense,
yeah.
You know? People smile and say this and that. I got black friends. You know, or I know black people, but are they in your circle? You know,
right.
Do you really care about them or their well-being? And so have they been over your house? You know, so and for, like you say, for her to giggle and laugh about it and joke about it and stuff, just to say that, you brought attention to yourself. So
right.
We know how you really think then, you know. So
we know how you really feel.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Mhm.
Okay. Steve, you got something on this one?
Yeah. Why are you hating? Why are you hating? I mean, it's like we saying we got the first black female president. Why are you hating? It's just like when Obama was voted the first black president. Why there were people? There were people that hated him to be president. Why are you hating? We are all people. We all believe the same color. Why are you hating?
Yeah.
And I feel like she was hating on that young lady.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, cool.
You're upset. You're jealous. You're hating.
Mm.
Yeah.
57, what say you, 57?
You know, I'm sorry Rachel Nichols said that. I wish she hadn't did that. I like Taylor and I like her, but this is what always gets me. It always makes me mad when I find black people surprised that they find out that when they find out that white people are racist underneath. You know, like when they just find out, oh, she said that. She said that. That's the way. I mean, why are you surprised? You know, are you think we free? Do you really think we're free? Do you think everything is really better because we had a black president and because we got a few black people in Congress? Do you really think it's changed? And when you get people to a point where they're losing some of the things that they care about the most, they fight back. Some of them behind closed doors, some of them right out in front like January the 6th, but they fight back. And that's what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Let me say this. We as a people have to be careful, okay? Because we don't want people hired because of their gender or their skin color. We want people hired because of their capability to do the job. That's what we want people hired for. Understand this. Nothing will say, see what I told y'all? More than for someone to be hired and they mishandle the opportunity.
Right.
Nothing says, see, look, see what I'm saying? See what we were saying? More than for this person to be hired and mishandle the opportunity. And mm-hmm. and a little bit on what 57 was saying. We can't be surprised. We can't be. Now, am I saying go around looking at all white people as racist? No, I'm not saying that at all. And that would be crazy to do that. That would be crazy to do that. But what I am saying is act like you've been there before. Hey. Behave like you've seen this before. It shouldn't be a surprise to us that there are still members of that community in a certain way. It shouldn't be a surprise that there are members of that community that are upset over the fact when we are given an opportunity. Go ahead, Dan. I hear you.
Well, I you know, it's kind of complicated what I'm going to say because, you know, I did say, you know, that it points out that it leads to maybe racism, but I don't mean to say that she is a racist. You know, I'm going to take that back. But I'm going to say that because I say things. I will make a comment also, depending on things. And I can say that I'm not racist because I have white people in my family. Both of my uncles were married to white women and they had children, you know. So, and then also from my grandmother's side, I have white people. So I say to say that, you know, that I'm not prejudiced, but I do make comments that are racist, that just people say that would be borderline racism or racism in that sense when I am talking in my group or my setting with my peers, you know. So I can see what she, you know, has said that, but she didn't know that she was being captured. Because
she left her mic on. Nobody recorded her. She left her mic on, and they, was being recorded. Yeah, I didn't want to say that.
Right, exactly. So whatever the case, she didn't know that it was being broadcast and that it was going out over the air, and that someone else heard that. You know, so therefore, and her truth came out. Because cameras are everywhere, and you don't know when that mic is on. So, hey, you got to be careful what you say.
So, you know, exactly what happened was they were on a Zoom call, and they were talking, and the Zoom meeting was over. She forgot to hit the leave button and just kept talking while Zoom was on. And so Zoom captured it, and whoever owned the Zoom call, you know, who started the Zoom call and let everybody in, they must be the ones who released it, because how else would it have gotten out? And this is over a year ago. This is 2019. And let me say this. I knew it was going to be some bull crap when it came to all of that, because you can tell it was some, I don't know, I have liked Chris Paul, and I do like Chris Paul. I like him for his basketball skills and stuff like that, but that's it. That's all I like about him is his basketball skills. Because if you notice at the end of the game, when they won the game, she said, oh, I see you, Maria Taylor. Oh, I see you waving to your family over there. He sabotaged the whole thing. Who? Nah, I ain't doing that. Them my peeps over there. Them my peeps. That's the same thing, your family. Same thing. You just trying to sabotage the interview. And then he said something else, and he said, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, Chris Paul.
She asked him about. She asked him about having to receive medical attention on his wrist, having it wrapped up. And the fact that he said, I don't know what you're talking about, because when you're in battle, when you're in competition, You don't want to give the people you're competing against, you don't want to give them the opportunity to key in on no part of you that may not be 100% healthy. So that's
okay,
what that was about.
Okay, so let me say this, because it's still with some bull crap. Because just like you, just like Chris Paul is very savvy. He's very savvy with his words. He's very, like, to the point with his words. He could have just very well said, hey, I already had, they already checked me out. I'm good to go. He could have said anything like that. But what he said was, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, come on, don't act stupid. Like, why are you being, like, I'm not calling him stupid. I'm saying, don't act stupid.
But
don't
if you notice when he said that, when he said, I don't know what you're talking about, he grabbed his wrist and put his wrist behind his back because he doesn't want. Go ahead, Chad.
I agree with you. I think he was deflecting it. You know, just to, hey, don't even, that's not even an issue. You know what I'm saying? Let's talk about something else. Like you said, I'm not giving. Say what?
It's like Belichick does. It was kind of like Belichick does with the injury report for the Patriots. You know, he don't put out there that this guy is bothered with this or this guy is hampered with that or whatever. He doesn't put that out there because he knows that the team that they'll be facing the upcoming week, they're going to key in on that. They're going to key in on that injury and attack it.
Guess what? By you not answering the question and saying you don't know what I'm talking about, now I know something's wrong with you. Why not just say, hey, look, hey, Maria, ain't nothing wrong with my arm. Look at me. Look, I just played the game. I just shot their eyeballs out. You can see I'm healthy. It's nothing wrong with me, period.
But that'll lead to another question.
He would have left it alone.
That'll lead to another question. That'll lead her to, okay, but we saw you getting your hand wrapped on the sideline. Because remember, how do we know about this?
It would not have failed. Let me tell you
how do we know about this? Because the trainer grabbed the guy that was holding the towel and repositioned him to hide what he was doing. So you deflect by telling her, I don't know what you're talking about, is a short and to the point way of saying, I'm not talking about that. I don't want to talk about
that. Why did you say that? Look, Kale, by you saying, I'm asking you a question. I'm saying, Kale, what's wrong with your arm?
Mm-hmm.
Are you good? You don't want everybody else to know that you hurt, right? You don't want everybody. Just like you saw them over there messing with his hand. That's why we're asking, because we see people over there taping up your hand. They trying to hide it. Now you come over here talking about you don't know what I'm talking about. But
I'm not giving life to it.
We see you on the sideline getting something worked on your arm. Okay, why not just say they're just wrapping it up just because? Say anything besides saying you don't know what I'm talking about. Like, now you're making me look stupid. Now you're trying to make the reporter look stupid.
No,
it wasn't
like that. He wasn't reflected. Really, can I say this? It was like that. He was
Wendy,
excited.
Before you say that, Ted, Wendy, before you say something, just like what you took out of it, you and Kale took it out of it, whatever you about to say. I took out of it what I'm thinking. See what I'm saying? It leaves doubt. It leaves doubt, period. It don't matter what nobody got to say. It's just right there. It's all doubt. If you think it's something, Kevin thinking something, and I'm thinking something, it's doubt. When you can just come out and right out and say, it's for precaution. I'm getting taped up for precaution. It's nothing wrong with that.
Trees, what did you prelude all this with? How much you don't like Chris Paul? So you're going to see that in a negative light. You're going to see that, and I respect that. I respect that. That's your opinion.
And I can
even see why you reached the conclusion that you did. I'm just telling you, I've seen players do that to male reporters and female reporters alike. Go ahead, Ted.
I'm sorry for cutting you off.
Yeah, what I was going to say, I mean, it's like you say, we all do have an opinion and everything. And that's true. But his answer is how he wanted to reply. So it's that you have an opinion on how you feel on how to whether you want to accept that reply. But that was how he wanted to reply. Yes, it might have been smart adequately or whatever, but it's not that he was trying to make her look stupid. It's the fact that, yeah, we all know what they was doing because we saw it. But, like, I'm leaning on the part that he's saying that, like, hey, we ain't here to discuss that. You know, we just won. Like I say, he was emotional. He was very hyped and everything. So, you know, he wasn't really ready to, you know, he like, ain't talking about this injury. I'm out there playing. So the injury is no
case. It's part of it.
But,
the injury was part
of
it.
But what I'm saying, he like Barkley and him saying, used to say, man, you hurt, tape it up, let's go out there and play. So he's saying he's not making an injury. He's not
that's
making it a factor.
We're going to agree to disagree on this one.
You're not hearing my opinion. I heard yours.
I
heard yours. And I accept yours. But let me finish. Yeah, okay. Okay, fine. That's great. That's good.
It's
I'm
like
Gordon
finished, dude. Finish.
Go ahead, 57.
Getting on my nerves.
Okay. It's like if it's in squirrels, so it's Chris Paul house.
What? C-H-D, boy?
That's it.
Yeah, you can warm that.
The boy, we got us another 57 here, man. Steve, that's the old 57 roll, man. 57, how you feel about your job being taken? Now, let me stop. But Tree, you got to understand.
Yes.
When these dudes are in the battle, going through like they are, the last thing they want to talk about is something that's weak to them. Because, like you said, yes, we all saw it. But guess what? Her bringing it up going to make people go back and rewind and look at exactly where he received medical attention. And then the defense, to eliminate him, that defense will be played hard on that body part that they were paying attention to. So I can understand him saying, nah, we ain't here to talk about that. I can understand that. Now, could he have been more polite? Of course. Could he have been more respectful? Of course. But this is my problem with females being enrolled that they weren't at one time, because we wouldn't be hearing anything if it was the man conducting that interview and Chris Paul said that to a man. But because he said that to a female, oh, it's not right. He shouldn't say that. Well, guess what? She grabbed that mic. She stepped down on that floor. She chose to interview him. So you get what you get, a repercussion of what that man was feeling at the time. And I'm with Ted. He was angry. He was excited. We got to remember, this is a 16-year career and his first appearance in the NBA Finals. The last thing he wants to talk about is
veteran
how he ended.
Veteran point guard.
We're going to agree to disagree because it was a lot of surrounding Maria Taylor. Nobody really wanted her down there but her.
Had it been Rachel Nichols down there,
he would have answered all the questions. Because that's
you
a
think
part
so?
Of the go-along, get-along. Yes, they are all in the go-along, get-along game. Him, LeBron, and Rachel, all of them got the same purposes. All of them work with the same people. All of them do the same thing. You understand
wow.
what I'm saying? So now that Maria Taylor is down there on the sideline doing her thing, trying to do her thing, Eric, you want to sabotage her by not answering the questions, being
that was
facetious, and doing all this old clown stuff that you were doing. Excuse my friend. I didn't mean to say that. But doing all this clown stuff, like, that's ridiculous. You ain't never, ever did that before in your life. You never did Doris Burke like that. You ain't do those.
Can I
like
say
that.
Something?
You love those.
He's never played a game.
We should disagree right here on this one. We're going
to agree. And I'm a female. He's never played a game one of the NBA Finals. Go ahead, 57.
That's his fault. But that don't mean he never be interviewed by George Burke before in a high-profile game.
Now, I love George Burke. But go ahead.
We're going to agree to disagree on that one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was watching the National Cornhole Championship the other night, and it was very interesting.
See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying?
He will say cornhole. I'm surprised he would say something else. Like,
no, hey, that really is a competition. Cornhole is a good game.
I know. It is.
Yep.
Unfortunately. Go on, 57. Okay. Get your carbon over.
But anyway, I don't know too much about Rachel Nichols and who she hooked up with and everything, and I didn't see the comment that Tricia is talking about. She should have just kept her mouth shut as far as her career goes, and the mic is always open. She should know that. So, you know, she will have to do. And as far as Maria Taylor goes, it seemed like she came out of nowhere. But I think in that conversation, she was warning somebody to stay away from her or something like that. She was telling her, look out for her because of how she did certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, hey, I can care less. They both look good to me as far as looking at commentators on ESPN.
I know that's right.
Let's see what I'm saying. Now that right there, that statement right there is what these qualified women have been trying to avoid. Don't just look me over. And we all know, men, we're going to say it. We're going to look. We're going to fantasize. That's part of being a man. You know what I mean? But
give us something to look at. Y'all got all these old white men looking crazy with toupees and blotches on their face and look like they're 99 years old, been up there for thousands and thousands of years. Give us something to look at.
Thank you. Why do they dress them like that? I mean, they know what they're doing, man. It's all a marketing scheme. They know exactly what they're doing. That's why they put them out there with the little short skirts on and the hair done so well and everything. They know what they're doing, so why should we pretend that we're not looking? I'm not going to do that.
When a Chris Paul comes up and says something to you that he would say to any male reporter, don't get in your feelings about it. Don't be mad about it. Don't be upset about
it. She's not in her feelings. Hey, they was making
a, I'm talking
making,
to you, Tree.
I'm not in my feelings. I wanted him to answer the question. Like, all I wanted him to say was something to the line of, well, even if he didn't want to talk about it, he could say, well, we're not talking about that right now. Give me the next question. Just say, don't say you don't know what I'm talking about.
But see, that's what you say. That's what you wanted him to say. That's what you wanted him
to
say.
No, that's not what I wanted him to say. I wanted him to say something on those lines. Not those words verbatim, sir. Not those words verbatim. I said
something
on the lines of that.
But you wanted him to say something other than what he said. You know, what he said didn't satisfy what you wanted him to say. That's what I'm saying. You know.
No. I don't want you to come up there and lie, is what I'm saying. Because that was a blatant lie.
Why is he lying? Why is he lying?
I'm agree to disagree. I ain't talking about it no more. Because he sat right there and got his arm chased up twice on the sideline. We know something's wrong with your arm. You don't
he just said what you're talking about. That's like feet. That's like Peter the Fifth. That's like Peter the Fifth. What you talking about? That's like Peter the Fifth. You know?
But you can't
see
the Fifth right now at this moment. You can't.
You can plead the fifth anytime you want to.
Like Naomi. She can plead the Fifth, but she has to make that obligation appear. But she doesn't want to answer the question and she's not comfortable, she can say, next question.
I think you're just throwing out stuff right now because I've never heard her say, happily the fifth. So you're destroying
if
the
Chris
idea
Paul,
and trying to make
that.
It fit. That's not fit.
Okay, okay, you're fine. You're
if
right.
Chris
you're
Paul
right.
would have come out, if Chris Paul would have come out and said, if Chris Paul would have come out and said next question, would you still have a problem with it?
No. No. No, I would not. But I don't want you to come up here and blatantly lie and say you don't know what I'm talking about when I'm asking you a question about your wrist. So you don't know what's going on with your wrist?
It was in a sarcastic.
I asked you about my wrist. I asked about
and
your
you know
wrist.
What?
Yes,
you know what? You know what? I have heard and seen Tom Brady do the same thing directly after a game, and they ask him, and he'll say, next question. No, I don't want to talk about that. I have heard and seen Tom Brady do that.
I don't have no problem with that. I don't have no problem with that, Kale. I don't have no problem with that. But did
so
you ever hear Tom
difference?
Brady come up to the mic? Tom Brady come up to the mic and blatantly lie about his own body? Have you? I'll wait.
How was that a lie? How was that a lie? He said he didn't want to talk about that.
He didn't.
How was that a lie?
That's not what he said. That's not what he said. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. So I'm asking you a question about your body.
Did you watch that interview with your eyes closed, Tree? Because so you saw what Chris Paul did. He grabbed his wrist and put it behind his back.
I'm watching the game. I'm listening to the game at work. I can't see him putting his hand behind his back. I just hear what he's saying. I'm watching it. I'm looking at it. I'm listening to it on the radio.
Uh-huh.
So what I'm going to say, I'm like, dang, he's going to answer the question? You know, I'm like, he don't know what he's talking about. He's all crazy.
Well, I'm going to say this. I've listened to plenty of post-game interviews on the radio, and the radio personalities, the DJs, they break down everything that person is doing for those who can't visually see. They do. They do.
So when you listen to the radio, they say, oh, well, he put his hand behind his back, and now she's going to ask him, she asked him the question. He put his hand behind his back, and he said he don't know what you're talking about.
I've seen that. I've heard that. I've heard that, Tree. Seriously.
I love you, man.
I'm shut up. I can't stand your iPod. You see what I'm saying? You see how we just joked around? That's all Chris Paul did. I'm so glad you took us there. I'm so glad. That's my co-host, man. I'm so glad you took it there. Because that's all Chris Paul was doing, joking and playing around.
I take it. We're
going
to agree,
disagree,
but I take it.
You know what?
We all know what that means in translation, Kale.
I done been with a woman too long not to know what that means, Sam. Yes, how about?
Yes, sir.
You see how he said no more. You see how he said no more. I shut up.
Hey, look, I feel like the Scarecrow. I feel like the Scarecrow on the Wizard of Oz.
We going to 27.
I feel like I feel like the Scarecrow on the Wizard of Oz. You can't win.
Hey, Mike, huh, man? I don't want to do my mic again. Y'all say I sound sick, but you know he's saying.
You know.
But listen, hey, I'm going on 27 years, y'all. July 24th. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, I know, like you say, Kale, been with a woman so long. You know.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Forget both of y'all. But Ted, forget you. And
we
Ted,
love you.
Forget you.
We love
you might
you.
Have
had
me to
it. I love
you.
That was nice.
By the way. Yep, 3-1.
7 or C. Well, that's
Steve
or
57. I love you, Dave.
We're going to bring Kirby in. We're going to bring Kirby back for this last few seconds. Kirby, she can't stand you either, Kirby. She can't stand your hypocrisy.
As far as the race thing, you know, to me, it's just wrong. I mean, I just want the best person for the job. You know, if Doug Williams over Chase Rader, I don't have to have a white quarterback. I want the best quarterback. You know what I mean? And when it comes to skin color, I'm looking at them curves. I'm not looking at the color. You know what I mean?
You know what? You know, that's it. You know what? Kirby, I'm telling you, boy.
Come on, Tree. Man, y'all know what time it is. It's that time, man. I hate when it's time to be here, but it is here. And I just want to say, 1057, Lucy, Kel, Big Boy, Devo, all of y'all, Kirby, I swear, I look forward to Tuesdays and Thursdays. I cannot wait to talk to y'all. So if y'all can keep on calling and have your friends call in too, we would so appreciate it. And I love you guys to the utmost. But here's my saying, you guys. I love you guys today more than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow. We're going to have a great weekend, you guys, and we'll see you guys back here on Tuesday at 5 p.m. sharp. 563-999-3782. Call.
No doubt. Trish, real quick, give me who fans and by how much tonight.
I'm saying Sun by 8.
Steve, who you got? Who wins and by how much?
Sun's by 10.
57, who you got?
Pittsburgh by 2 touchdowns.
Okay. Kirby, don't laugh at him. Kirby, who you got?
I'm going to go with the Suns, but it's going to be a closer game because of pride. So I'm going to say 5 points different with the Spurs, with the Suns. And
okay.
I want to say hi to Classy.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kirk. Hi to Classy.
No, I just want to say hi to Classy because it's her team. She lives out there in Arizona, you know. So
okay.
So,
Ken,
go
who
son.
You got?
Well, I got Phoenix. And like Kirby said, I believe it's going to be a close game also. So I was trying to waver. I'm going to go with 4 points because, like I tell y'all, number four is one of my little youngest from the hood. So, you know, I got to go with Phoenix, man. And I got family in Phoenix also. My brother lives in Phoenix. My cousin, her son, and my uncle, like I tell you, who married to a white woman, she lives there. Her daughter, her other daughter lives there. So I got a rack of family, man, from Scottsdale to Mesa to Chandler,
okay.
All over.
That's what's up. Debo, you know, Debo, hit me on the hip. Who you going with? I'm going to say the Phoenix Suns by 7. Phoenix Suns by 7.
57. What'd you say, 57?
Hold on. Let me turn them back on.
Okay.
Oh, 57 hung up. Okay. So it's the Suns by 7. Suns by 7. Hey, y'all have a great weekend. Love y'all. Hey, man, get some family time in with your fam, man. Show people you love them, man. Because we never know when that day is that day.
Yeah.
Hey, and real quick, on a somber note, hey, Debo, your family with you, man. We love y'all, man. And we're going to send a prayer to his wife who lost her mom. We love y'all, man. We'll be back.
Praise goes out.
to change it with my hair. I wear my credit card below. Thought a new dress would make it better. I tried to work it away, but that just made me even sadder. I tried to keep myself busy. I ran around in circles, think I make myself dizzy. I sent it away, I sexed it away, I read it away, away. Moving around make me feel better.